This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar. For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com.
So, this is Radio Free Cybertron, episode 417. We're recording on May 13th, 2015. With me this week, I have Don Vader.
Who's high on Claritin?
This is going to be great.
I'm bodily floating. I don't think high is the word to use.
If you're declaring yourself to be floating, you're high. We also have Matt, a.k.a. Melvar, John DeLuna, Rob Clay, and Diecast. How's it going, guys? Aside from Don, anyway, we know he's dying.
Yo, I think we're better than Brian, so...
It's the moment has been prepared for.
Kilby couldn't be here with us this week because he's not as much of a trooper as Don is, let's just be honest.
Don has dragged himself here from his deathbed, but, you know, Kilby took the night off, so...
Yeah.
just as long as I'm not a VR trooper.
Maybe later.
I had to think about it.
Well, okay, Don, here's the thing. Would you rather be a VR trooper or a Beetleborg?
I'd rather be a Mystic Knight of Tyranog.
Not one of your options. Oh. That show was too expensive. That show was too expensive to produce. You have to be a VR trooper or a Beetleborg. Which is it?
I'll be Flabber. I might as well have fun a little bit while my show collapses around me.
And think of all the hair you would gain.
And a chin. I could rival Bruce Campbell's chin.
Do you want a chin? Like, is a chin really that important to you in life, Don?
Better than being a VR trooper and sounding like that in the dub.
If you had that chin, though, you wouldn't be able to fit in the helmet to be a VR trooper.
And there's the good thing.
So this is the part of RFC where we plug all of our other shows we do. Now, there hasn't been comics in a couple weeks, so, you know, Family vs. Transformers has been on a little break. I think we'll be back next week with a new episode, because I believe Transformers 41 comes out next Wednesday.
That's the former More Than Meets the Eye, right?
No. Former Robots in Disguise.
Robots in Disguise is still a thing. Okay.
Which is still, sadly, Combiner Wars.
Hey, Chris, I wanted to ask you this. In the down weeks where there's not a new issue, have y'all thought about going back and reviewing an important issue from either the Marvel, the Dreamwave, or the IDW run that maybe is an underlooked gem that to bring to people's attention?
I don't think there's anything underlooked from Marvel anymore, Don.
Or a gem.
I'm going to have to argue with you on that. But there's, you know, so many collected reprints of those that, you know, everybody knows all that stuff now for the most part.
I just thought it might be interesting to look at stuff from the past in the off weeks that maybe you missed this. Check it out because, you know, whatever.
And Dreamwave is Dreamwave. I mean, there are no gems in that.
Well, I will say
there are lots of dull surprise.
Yeah. I did enjoy their Armada comic more than the Armada TV show, and the Energon was shaping up to be something more interesting than its TV show, so there was that.
Like, yeah, I think, like, in general, their Armada and Energon adaptations probably were okay, but all the G1 stuff, which is the stuff people mostly remember from Dreamwave, is just a write-off.
Yeah.
Hey, how about those Micromasters, huh? So anyway, for shows we actually did have this week, we have episode 12 of the RFC minicast featuring Rob Clay.
Yay. Yes.
So, John, what did you guys talk about this week?
Well, we talked about... what got some attention was we had a pretty rare discussion on Unicron Trilogy toy lines. We went through... slightly out of order, but we got all three of them in. And Rob talked about his love of Gundam and how he met you, XV. Uh-huh. Yeah. And a little Combiner Wars sprinkled in here and there. And it was a good discussion with Mr. Clay.
Very nice. I understand the two of you will be recording again in the near future.
Yeah, both of us got the Protectobots deluxes in basically when everybody else got them at their... the earliest opportunity, and so he and I are going to do a quick little rundown of the four deluxes for next week's show.
Nice. I'll look forward to listening to that. So we also have episode 11 of RFC Extra, where Don admits to his secret shame. And if you want to know what that is, you'll have to listen.
Oh, I'm going to have to listen to that.
We also have Being Awesome with Rob Springer, which, as promised last week, is about Creo and Oil Master. And he hasn't sent me the preview for the next episode yet, so it's going to be as much of a surprise to me as it is to all of you.
That seems like such a bizarre mix of topics, though. It's just...
Well, you know...
It's Rob Springer. Are you surprised?
He wanted to talk about awesome things, and Oil Master is a thing that happened, and it's pretty awesome in concept. And then finally we have There Goes My Money, which had a delirious Brian Kilby and me. And we had, what, like 6 or 7 things to cover this episode, Diecast?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Road Rage was one of them. So it's that the episode's worth checking out just for Road Rage.
Mm-hmm. Road Rage looks so nice.
Yeah. I just wish Orton didn't end up looking as good as he does, because Abominus is so low on my list of new figures at the time when it came out. And it's like, no, stay down the list. Stay down the list. Stay. So, you know, that may be a future purchase after everything else has gotten.
Okay, so we kind of spoiled a little of this already, but let's go into new purchases. So, most importantly, the thing everybody wants to find out about, has anybody got Warpath?
No.
No.
I mean, they have the Generation 2, which is great, so.
Okay, the Legends. The Legends Warpath. Yeah, I got the Legends.
Yeah, I had the Legends one.
Yeah, the Combiner Wars one.
Yeah. I
forgot about that.
Yeah, mine's staying on the card forever.
Obviously, that's the one everybody cares about. Wait, wasn't that a Huffer?
Yeah, oh, that was in reference to John's he's staying on the card forever. Yeah.
Oh.
I gave mine away on Twitter for TF Radio. My Huffer is like in, I don't know, Europe somewhere, I think.
Did it go that far?
Yes. Look, when we say anybody can win on Twitter contests, we mean it, even if we eat a few bucks to get it to, the Eastern block. It's fine.
Might have been cheaper just to give him money to go have him buy one in that state.
Not at the overseas prices.
That's a different kind of state over there.
Yeah.
But, Diecast, it wouldn't have been because, you know, Tobias at TFYLP has shared some of his local pricing on Combiner Wars.
Deluxes are stories by his other podcast.
Yeah. I'm just saying, like, deluxes are like $38 US over there. You know, I bought him Dragstrip, Danian, and sent it to him, and he paid less, and he could walk down to his local store and get it. So.
We took a drink for every time Don mentioned TFYLP, by the end of the show, we may be drunk.
I'm sitting here thinking, I'm wondering, I bet third party is even more popular in countries where the prices are like that, because price-wise, there's not as big a difference there.
That's actually an interesting point.
You know, that may be something we want to ask our foreign listeners outside of the U.S. that collect third party. You know, how does that relate to your buying regular Hasbro produced product, either in your country or importing it, and find out how it varies from country to country?
That's actually a really interesting question.
It is an interesting question. I do have an interesting bit of trivia though for that regarding that. That a friend of mine. Who goes by the name of Lodrill online. he's based in Japan. And I think it's Make Toys. He says for some reason they are way more expensive, significantly more expensive in Japan and Asia than they are here. It is actually, I think, cheaper for him to buy Make Toys on a US website and have it shipped back to Japan.
Weird.
Yeah. Wow. For some reason it's marked up there.
That's really weird.
Do you think it's some kind of Japanese dislike of it being a Chinese company? Something like that?
I don't know.
I thought Market Toys was a Japanese company.
Yeah, I thought they were a Japanese company.
Oh, okay. I thought they were based out of China. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Am, in which case it's probably just one of those markup things. You know, one of the reasons that a lot of anime DVDs have gotten delayed over the years is because Japan wanted to make sure that they got the domestic release done first, because importing them would be cheaper for people in Japan.
So interesting.
Okay, so since nobody has any interest in Warpath, for reasons I can't fathom... All right, what can we talk about this week, you guys?
Well, the Deluxe Protect Bots.
All right, let's give that a shot.
Let's try.
Yeah, let's see if we can make something out. Let's see if we can get a couple minutes out of those.
Yeah, hey, yeah. Rob, let's practice.
Yes, it's a pretty solid wave. I think out of all four, probably my least favorite is First Aid, which is kind of sad because I always liked him as a kid. It's one of the like two Protect Bots I actually had. But there's nothing in it that I think is a disaster. I think it's all pretty good. And Rook turned out great, I think.
Yeah, I agree with that. He's the star for me, but that's probably like the new mold effect. Because like visually, I really love First Aid. I just, in robot mode, the colors and just the way it's all laid out, he just looks really, 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 really good.
Oh, yeah. He looks great. It's just, you know, his... got some obstruction just based on the, you know, in the shoulders, especially based on how he transforms. Again, I love how it looks. Just it's of the four, it is the most frustrating for me to mess with. But you know, I haven't actually gotten my hands on Wave 2 yet, so Streetwise was a pleasant surprise. And you know, again, really happy with Rook. Rook is great.
First Aid was the off-road mode, right, Rob?
Yeah, it's, you know, just about totally reskinned as far as I can tell. But, yeah, I can see XV was entirely right in reviewing Off-Road. It is like an aerial bot that somehow became a truck. It's that is just really kind of makes the legs difficult to deal with. And, like I said, it, in very many ways, in terms of, like, transforming and such, the whole thing can be difficult to deal with. But it looks great.
I was going to say, I got mine. I haven't got them out of package yet, but the face sculpts were really good when I was looking at them yesterday. Like, there was one with a light blue face and dark blue visors, and it was really striking, and it was definitely, like, I'm impressed with what they did with what they, you know, the face sculpts and everything.
So with Blades now, does the face look as weirdly big as it does in the photos when you have it in hand?
You know, let me pick it up and look again, because
it does for me, but it doesn't, like, it's not like a it doesn't kill him for me, but he's got a big
little
noggin
off, though.
Yeah, he definitely has a big noggin. It's one of those where people will, the counter will be like, well, human heads are big, like you know what I mean. Well, Transformers have pinheads. We're just kind of accustomed to that.
It's just something about the face looks a little bit broad for the helmet, I think it's what it comes down to for me.
Okay.
And, you know, also the lines in the face, they were always kind of odd in the original design, and the way they're executed here make him look a little bit older than I think it was originally intended to. But, you know, it doesn't look bad. It's, you know, and it's the red for Blades is a really nice metallic color, but it's, you know, it's a good looking figure, and it's distinct enough from Alpha Bravo that I think everybody will be happy with it.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. I like that helicopter mold.
Yeah, I agree with that. He's impressively different from Alpha Bravo, even though he's, you know, largely the same toy.
Yeah.
I will say that Groove, I don't know if I hate Groove or I'm okay with Groove. He's just really, he's like just a bag of limbs. Basically, he's just kind of like legs and arms flying all over the place. It's very odd. He's not the most like locked down and tabbed down robot ever. His shoulders tend to just kind of like fly out when you touch them, and he's very high waisted, so he's very leggy.
The first thing I thought of when I saw the pictures of Groove was like a Power Master that didn't quite finish transforming. That's just what it reminded me of, is he didn't quite finish tucking everything in.
He's one of those that you come across periodically where it's like a few more tabs would have made like all the difference in the world. Just if he just locked in place, you would feel like completely different about him. But as he is, he's very just loose, and he just doesn't feel like complete or solid. And it's just because he just doesn't have enough tabs to kind of lock that robot mode down.
So for the benefit of the people who are listening to the audio version of the podcast, and for XV, of course, I finally got Breakneck and Quickslinger.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, so did I.
Hey.
But yeah, Hasbro was...
You're still not special.
Hasbro was nice enough to send him out. It just took a little bit. So I'll be reviewing those soon, hopefully. I got my new camera today, so I had to charge up the battery. I went to use it. I was like, oh, man, I have to charge the battery. So the other thing I got, which is the reason I didn't get to open the Protectobots, is I got Fierce Attack, which I combined into Bruticus right away, and he is a big bot. If you follow me on Twitter, I tweeted a photo out next to DX9's Chigger, which is a pretty big bot himself, and Bruticus is like double the size. And the only thing wrong with mine, because Fierce Attack has been having some QC issues, is mine came with two right feet. So I immediately emailed Big Bad Toy Store last night when I realized I switched the feet like three times before I realized I had two of the same feet. I'm like, the ankle tilt's not working. And I'm like, the ankle tilt's still not working. I'm like, what's going on here?
So now it's not working in the other direction.
So I finally figured it out, and I emailed Big Bad Toy Store, and they responded today. And the girl, Liz, the first thing she said was like, don't worry, Tell Fierce will have him dancing in no time, which I thought was awesome. So shout out to Liz at Big Bad Toy Store for the awesome response. It actually made me smile. So
yeah. I've actually picked him up too, Diecast. With the way that I'm feeling, I haven't had a chance to really dive into him past the basic onslaught mode, but it's visually very impressive. I can't wait to put him into combined mode.
Don, trying to die while we're actually like live streaming here, okay?
If you do think you're gonna die, tell us ahead of time so we can tweet and get some live listeners.
You know, Massey will eat you if you die. I think that's what cats do.
It would take a couple of days.
I think there's... I don't want to know how they know this, but I think they do know like how long it would take a cat and how long it would take a dog to eat a dead body. And I want to say it's slightly longer for dogs.
It is longer for dogs.
Yes, I recall it's like days for dogs, and for cats it's a matter of hours.
Next subject, please.
If I remember right, it's 2 days for cats on average and about a week for dogs.
Okay.
Again, so... I'm not against cats. I'm just saying.
Moving along.
So, do we have any other purchases to report? Hey, John, what about Viper? You opened him up in pre-show.
I sure did, as you heard.
First thing we heard of you tonight, John.
He's really nice. He sure is Power Glide in blue. Yeah. I do really like his remolded head, though. It's another clever, like, just, you know, G.I. Joe reference and all that. But it does make him look like as different as a blue Power Glide can look. And I enjoy him. One of the nice touches that I like that I don't think I noticed in preview pictures, because I didn't really like analyze pictures of Viper before I got him, was the missile pods on the the underside of his forearms. They are a nice gold, so it introduced it's like a gold copper, kind of coppery gold, so it introduced a new color to make him just a little less dull, and so I appreciate that touch. And I like him. The joints are tight. One of his, his right shoulder on mine, the arm pops out a little bit, like a little easier than you would maybe expect, but it's still, it's tight. And he's not falling apart like Slingshot. So, yeah, I like him. I think he's pretty cool.
Oh, your copy, do the hips peg together any better than some copies of Power Glide?
Yeah, on mine, the hips are super solid. The only, like I said, the only little like glitch I would say is that on mine, the right shoulder pops out maybe a little bit easier than intended, but it doesn't just like fall off. You got to pull it. So so I'm happy with it. And, you know, yeah, I give him a thumbs up.
Okay, so now that a couple of you have Breakneck and Quickslinger on hand, like, how are you finding, like, the plastic tolerances on them versus the original versions?
My Quickslinger is actually great.
Okay.
Like, tolerance is, like, everything is nice and stiff, and look, my landing gear works.
Oh man, you asshole. you proper landing you're having asshole you, Matt. Yeah. Damn you.
Yeah. Everything is nice and stiff. Intro quote.
I'm just not going to comment because mine were actually still in the package. So.
Oh, okay.
It might be doing intro quotes tonight. XV.
If I was making a local recording, I would consider doing a special audio version of the show, but alas, no. I would have to go and, like, get it off of YouTube after we're done and rip the audio, and then it's just the whole production, and, you know. I may do it anyway. Anyway,
You know what other sites you can go to? tfradio.net/Amazon.
It's not yet. Not yet.
Oh, I thought we were there.
No. I mean, look at the show notes. It's all in the script.
When will then be now? Soon.
You're reading the wrong plug, Diecast. Oh. The plug we're supposed to do right now is, hey, check out RFC Fan Onslaught 6's music store at music.onslaught6.com. That's 6 S-I-X, not the number 6. If you like what you hear there and decide to buy some, use code RadioFreeCybertron, all one word, during checkout. So, I have not actually had a chance to look at that myself yet, but I'm told we promised to do that plug. So, there you go. Transparency. So, this week in history, on May 16th, 2011, the street date for the first wave of Dark of the Moon toys came up. So, even though most stores had broken that by that point, you could officially go and buy the third movie's toys.
And some Family Dollars still have them in stock for $5.
If you have a Fred's around, there are probably deluxes there from Dark of the Moon still at $15.
Wow.
Which somehow has actually become normal price.
And that Dark of the Moon wave, that was the wave that sat on the shelf for the whole summer. And then canceled
pretty much, yeah,
everything else.
Yep. I got two whole things out of that. I got the remold of Revenge of the Fallen Optimus Prime with Commentor for like $16, and I got that really neat Megatron, and then I never touched the line again.
You know what I got out of Dark of the Moon? I got Skyhammer.
I wish I had, actually.
Yeah, that's the helicopter mold that they redid to make Drift for Age of Extinction, the helicopter Drift.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is a really nice mold. If I find it, like, turn up at Marshall's or something, still, I probably will get the helicopter Drift. Just because that mold's so nice, and it's good colors on it too.
Okay. And they also use that mold for BotCon Machine War Sandstorm, mm-hmm, which I think is still available online for a pretty decent price.
Probably so. Yeah, they kind of made the mistake with that of, you know, having BotCon exclusive Sandstorm the same summer that Generation Sandstorm came out.
And Generation Sandstorm is great, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, the other good thing that came out of the Dark of the Moon line, I think, was that little the deluxe Optimus Prime, which again was reused in Age of Extinction as the little Silver Knight Optimus in the Target 2-pack with the G1 colors Grimlock.
Yes,
yeah, that is actually nice.
Actually,
I actually have that right here, and it's worth me standing up just so I can wave it at the camera because it's so goofy looking.
It's Big Lots circa 2000 Optimus Prime. It's beautiful.
I was afraid to open mine because I thought that if I touched it, the chrome would flake and peel.
It's surprisingly durable.
Yeah, this chrome. Well, okay, so like usually, most typically, when chrome flakes, it is not the chrome itself that falls off. It's the clear paint over it to make it be a color. Because chrome is always like silver; it's colorless. There are rare cases like Transmetal 2 Scourge where the chrome layer, the vacuum metal itself, flakes off. Like, it does not adhere to the toy properly and it flakes off over time. For the most part, though, if you get, like, silver chrome on a toy, it's going to last. It will hold on.
Oh, okay.
Because, like, on the shelf back there, I've got Robots in Disguise Scourge, which the whole trailer is
chrome.
A big silver chrome surface, and that is held up just fine. It seems to mostly be stuff from, like, 98, 99, and 2000 or so that had the actual chrome shedding problems.
And also, the deluxe figure had two runs at Walmart. The second one was called Lunafire in a gold chrome, somewhat reminiscent of Year of the Horse Optimus Prime. They both sucked. But there is another variation out there if you want it.
I thought it was weird that there were two versions of that, and they were both Walmart exclusive.
And then they became a Target exclusive.
And wasn't that also the mold they used as a Kmart exclusive with the trailer?
Yes.
Yes, it was.
Yes.
So that thing kind of, like, it was notable during Dark of the Moon because Walmart was the only retailer that had that Deluxe Optimus mold. And even subsequent to that, it has always just been a retail exclusive. It has never had a regular wide release in the U.S.
That Prime with the trailer, wasn't that at all retailers? Or?
No, I believe it was Kmart.
I know it was at Walmart.
I thought I saw it at Toys R Us once, so it may have been.
No, I'm sorry. The one that I have, I got on clearance at Target for $4.98.
Okay.
Because I had the Japanese version that came with the Mech Tech trailer. That was the Voyager size Prime.
Come to think of it now, that Deluxe Optimus with the trailer was like the only thing from the later part of Dark of the Moon's toy line that actually made it out in any capacity, because like that was going to be one of the things along with the Deluxe Soundwave, the Wheeljack retool.
The
Deluxe.
The Wheeljack mold at all. We never got that at all.
Nope.
Yeah, and the Deluxe.
Dark of the Moon
record
line was.
Yeah,
Dark of the Moon's toy line, that was just a disaster, wasn't it?
Yeah, pretty much.
The Deluxe Wrecker, the Target car, that the Deluxe model didn't have the Target logo on it because it would be at other retailers.
Roadbuster
was the mount, was the green and white car.
Oh.
This was...
Topspan?
He came with a Bulldog. Leadfoot.
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 Great. So let's move on to the news.
Half hour
that
in.
That was my fault. I'm sorry. So TF Sources MP23 exhaust received an aftermarket paint job to allow for sale in the U.S. And they kind of didn't tell anybody first.
Surprise!
Yeah, really weird.
Yeah, that's the part I object to. I think it's a brilliant idea, and I don't think the final product looks bad at all. But you know, that's not something you tell somebody after they buy it.
Yeah,
from.
That's not what they ordered.
Right.
Even with all the guarantees of we'll be happy to take it back and pay your return postage and all that. Yeah, you could have told people first, and I don't think it would have really hurt their orders that much at all for that if they had bothered.
Probably not.
Even if it did, it would have saved a lot of trouble of like shipping and returning and refunds and all that. Just to know like ahead of time.
Because the figure was going to sell anyway if they had copies of it that were legit.
Pretty much.
I just don't understand the idea that, hey guys, good news, I painted your toy. Not only did I open it, but I painted it up real nice. I'm sure you'll be okay with that.
But the funny thing is, I'm wondering how they got this approved, because it's not that much different, at least from the top photo that I saw. It's not
different. The thing that's distinctive about Marlboro's package design is like the chevron shape, the triangle indentation. You know, this, it still has the colors, but everything is, you know, straight lines. It's all squares and rectangles now.
Right.
So, you know, like, you can understand this is the same colors as a pack of cigarettes, but it doesn't have the distinct design elements the same way. And to be honest, there is no guarantee this has actually been pre-approved by Philip Morris.
Right, yeah. Like, I'm wondering if it still has the good flavor on the bumper, because and I don't think Philip Morris would have, their lawyers would have approved this at any stage of the game, from what I understand.
Ultimately, that may be why nobody was told about this before it happened, because people would have posted about it. It would have given Philip Morris Legal a heads up that this was going through and given them something else to send a cease and desist over.
Philip
Morris has to do that. I mean, it's not a matter of choice for them. It's not a matter of them being mean to the toy companies either. You know, they have to do that for their own protection.
Yes.
Don, what were you saying?
I was saying that once again, people are adding drama to a situation that doesn't need it. Sell the damn figure, let other companies make labels if you want to change it, and not worry about it.
Now, I want to point out something. XV had a brilliant idea, and he said they should have just made stickers for it that people could have peeled off if they didn't like them. And I thought that was, like, the perfect idea. I wish Takara would have originally done that, and then we could have just got the figure and peeled off all the stickers. It would have been excellent.
Because it's like all those Masterpiece Megatrons that have been made, and I think even Hegemon, some of the imports of that, you know, they had the orange caps, but they weren't secured in. You could just pull them out when you got it.
Yeah.
You know, they did the absolute minimum to get by the regulations, but it's like, you know, well, once that's over with, we can't stop you from removing the modification.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It's weird. You know. It's kind of like the whole Spastic thing, but in reverse.
Well, with Spastic, they actually did put stickers on to change the name to Overrun.
Yeah, I mean, if they did that, and it was legal to sell in the UK without causing drama, they could have done the same thing.
Okay, like, Spastic would never have been illegal. Would have been, it would have been a public relations problem, which is kind of a difference. Like, at this point, at least for the TF Source ones, I would think, you know, for people who decide to keep them, the most likely thing would be if someone, probably not repro labels, because they've already gone on record saying they're not going to touch exhaust in any way. But, you know, probably the thing to have would be if somebody did just like a white triangle label to put on the hood and cover up where it was repainted and restore the original shape as much as possible. You know, that's, you know, for people who are getting the TF Source version and have no other option for this figure, you know, that's probably the best thing to hope for at this point.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, pretty much, I think we're in agreement here. You know, the bad thing of this is not that they did it, it's that they did it without letting anybody know ahead of time.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
So in more positive news, we have our first color photos of Road Rage and her twin cast accessory. And if you watched There Goes My Money, you've already seen a picture very much like this. But, you know, recording schedules. But this looks so good. I want this.
It does.
I would like to see a picture of the vehicle mode, but, I mean, there's not going to be much surprise there. I just want to see more of that pretty, pretty red.
Yes.
Yeah, I wanted this mold anyway, but the deco definitely just... Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care about having tracks really at all, but this looks so nice. I really want to get this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Just like eventually I'll get G2 Sideswipe also.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you're going to be at BotCon, right?
I am.
XB. So I got G2 Sideswipe last year for $50 on Sunday at BotCon. So look out on Sunday.
Okay. I will try to keep that in mind.
Yes. Certainly a bargain price.
No, that's a good price. That's a good price. It's a good price.
He's totally one of the toys that will be like a... oh my gosh, I gotta get rid of this box of G2 Sideswipes because I'm not shipping it back. He's gonna be one of those on Sunday, probably again.
Don, you've ruined the phrase. It's a good blank. Like you just ruined that. Oh, so I see. Okay, I'm doing the kill thing now of not even paying attention to the Skype chat show.
Oops. Yeah.
No worries.
I thought I didn't hear, you know, the congestion so much anymore.
Yeah. Well, he had to pee and possibly doodle.
And then he'll be back to congest our day into an adventure. So moving on to Combiner Wars news, because we basically have three topics of official news tonight. So moving on to Combiner Wars, we got our first look at Leader Starscream. We had hints of coming through various means before, but now we actually can see, hey, there's an actual toy.
Yeah, the crown
looks
surprise.
Like he's coming with a crown. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, just like we thought from the bio that went up on the Australian Toys R Us site, where it said he was king of the Seekers.
That is a small kingdom. Yeah. It's like, I'm ruler of those two guys over there.
Well, there's them, there's the Coneheads, there's Sunstorm, Acid Storm, all those purple ones that sometimes exist.
The Rainmaker. And even if there were only two, you would start screaming with the crown anyway.
That's probably true, and brag about it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he would. He's Starscream. I can't decide how I feel about this, though.
I know it's Devastator, but there's just, like, green.
We're on Starscream.
We're talking about Starscream. There.
Yeah, we're on Starscream. You're getting ahead of yourself.
Back up one. Yeah.
I wonder why I'm like, what crown are you talking about? There we go.
Devastator is the king of Seekers.
Yeah, we were talking about Seekers and crowns and Starscream.
Devastator's head is small enough that Starscream crown might fit him.
Probably.
Yeah, I think Skywarp's better.
We haven't seen Skywarp yet.
Or
Thundercracker.
And yet we kind of do.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's implied.
But will Skywarp come next? Will Skywarp come next, or will they throw us like an oddball like Acid Storm or Sunstorm?
Oh, Sunstorm, please.
If they do a Sunstorm and it's not in Hasbro Sunstorm colors, that's fine. If it's, you know, yellow with a little bit of orange like most of the Hasbro ones, no. I want the e-hobby original Sunstorm colors.
Sadly, the only one that Hasbro ever released in that colors was that recall of Armada Thrust, wasn't it?
And even that wasn't quite that. I mean, it was close.
The animated one was pretty orange.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. orange. I should have bought one of those. I don't know why I didn't.
Have you gotten a Bicon Genrai yet?
No, because I don't think that mold looks good in orange.
Oh, really? I like it.
I kind of like it, too.
Yeah, I know I mentioned this before, but I still would like to see Fans Project sort of update the City Commander armor for that figure. It'd be a little retro at this point, but I think it would look nice.
I'd rather see a crossover Gen Power Master trailer.
Oh, to give everybody a Fire Guts convoy that can't afford originals?
Yeah. You know what I would like to see in orange? Titan Class Devastator. We have our first, like, decent and photos of that, which Diecast probably already had on screen for a couple minutes.
Yeah.
I kind of want to see this in orange, except I kind of don't because I'd have to buy it. And
yeah.
But hey, there's Devastator.
Yeah, and this—it looks like it needs a little bit more paint apps in the combined mode.
Problem is though, with it being that big diecast, that's probably where probably Hasbro is trying to save money wherever they can, because of the size of the individual figures and the packaging around it.
That's six Voyager figures. I imagine that's a budgetary restriction.
Yeah.
Yeah. It could stand something on the legs, though. It really could.
Yeah, that's what it is. I know it's not a fair comparison, but I'm looking at my Make Toys Devastator, and that thing just looks awesome. Yeah. And then I keep looking at this Devastator, and I'm like, it's not the same price point, which is, I'm still going to get this, but I'm just looking back and forth, and I'm like, That looks so much better on my shelf.
Well, you know, I think if Scrapper had a little bit of purple, like right there above the cab on those two knee panels, you know, just something to counterbalance what's on Mixmaster. But one thing I noticed, people were complaining how Scrapper has no elbows. Elbows in that configuration would not be a good thing, because unless they turn to oppositely fall apart from each other with the hinge, or they put a locking hinge in there, your Devastator is going to fall the hell over. So if he doesn't have elbows, that's not going to be a problem. He'll be able to stand now.
Well, I'd like to see...
I have TFC's Hercules, and the way they went around that is the arms actually fold over and he stands on the elbow.
Yeah, so basically
which
his
actually
arms...
Works really well.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, people were complaining about how there's no elbows. Well, elbows would not be good in this situation. Otherwise, you'd have to engineer more crap in to counterbalance the elbows when he's in Gestalt mode.
I'd like to see a customizer get this and paint it accordingly.
You know,
I want to see Takara's take on this. Like, they're working on that. I want to see what they actually come up with for this.
I wonder if you look at the Anime Colors G1 Devastator they released last a couple years ago. I wonder if they'll be using, because that's the only, to me, that there's not much of a shading difference between the two. I can't see that much difference, but I wonder if that's what they'll go with.
I wonder if I know Repro labels will do something, but they are like there were those weird Superion and Menasor sticker sheets that were released in Asia. I wonder if they'll do one for Devastator.
The only thing about the figure that kind of irks me, and this is so minor, it's pitiful, and it doesn't really matter one way or the other, but the black on the right-hand side has no counterbalance on the left, and it visually kind of keeps dragging my eye off to his right.
What do you mean, the treads?
Yeah, the treads just kind of throw off the visual balance. You know, if there's a little black on Bone Crusher there along the same area, and then a little purple on Scrapper, I think from a visual balance standpoint, it would be a lot better. But that's just the way I'm seeing it.
Well, that's a throwback to the original. So.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't mind that as much as I just do the lack of paint. I'd almost be happy if, like, the San Diego Comic-Con was this color, just with more paint apps.
Yeah,
I know it's not going to be that.
That's a nerd exclusive if there ever was one.
Yeah, if that happens, Diecast, you will be hunted down, you will be tarred, you will be feathered.
But I'm with you on the aesthetics, Don. I understand why they didn't do it, too, for the accuracy. Oh, yeah.
I think in this case I would have rather had a compromise where... Scavenger and Bone Crusher both had like dark gray treads, and neither of them was colored according to the original toys.
Or maybe Bone Crusher's legs were black on the inside, and you could turn the legs around for Devastator mode, or leave them as green.
Yeah, something like that. I mean, there's alternatives. There's always alternatives. When we're looking at this in hindsight.
This isn't
like a thing that comes down to budget as much as, you know, something like the paint apps. This is a specific stylistic choice because they're trying to keep consistent with the original toys as much as they can. And
except for Mixmaster,
at this scale, it just doesn't work that well. Yeah, Mixmaster. I think if the common style of cement trucks hadn't changed over the last 25 years. That still would have been... could still find a Mixmaster-style cement mixer on the road today, I think they would have gone for it.
But that's the thing I don't get. If they were comfortable changing Mixmaster, why are they so slavish to the other five?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. Mixmaster doesn't make sense.
I got a feeling, though, we're going to see a small clip-on part that will fit around that cab and the drum, like a cutout for the drum, that will make that cab foot a little bit bigger like the G1 version. But again, we're looking at this from 40 and 30-year-olds with nostalgic glasses on full. The kids are going to love this. The ones whose parents can swing it, the kids are going to love this. This is going to make some kids' Christmas absolutely awesome.
Oh, I'm 35. I'm going to love this. I'm just saying. I can't understand why the five have to be, you know, G1 as far as they can go, but Mixmaster's okay to change.
Yeah, and
I don't get it.
It's okay. In this case, it's okay to look at it as a 35-year-old because this is a $100 toy based on a character.
150, from, John. 150.
$150 toy based on a character from 1984. So it's for 35-year-olds in a lot of ways.
Rent rules.
What?
Rent rule.
Okay.
Sorry, little Rickers thing there, you know.
I just like that Don's biggest criticism is Devastator has no feng shui. So if you can just like do like at BotCon, like that, just propose that's his biggest issue.
No, I'm serious. I love the figure. It's just
yes. Stand up at the Hasbro panel. Hello, my name is Don. Perhaps you've heard of me. I'd like to talk to you about Devastator and his lack of feng shui.
Okay, I'll be honest. If this was, say, Lyo Kaiser or Bruticus, and there was some issues taken, I might be a little more adamant about addressing them because those are my personal favorites. But it's just, it's not worth getting upset over. Everybody that's upset. This is a perfectly good-looking figure. You can take a Sharpie, for God's sake, and add a little color if you need to. Or Gundam markers.
Hey, speaking of perfectly good-looking figures, shut up, Don. Leader Ultra Magnus.
What? Shut up about what?
Leader Ultra Magnus.
You're going to say bad things about Ultra Magnus because you're not into it.
No, I'm not. It's just not a character. I have a good Ultra Magnus at the Masterpiece and Stack, so I'm good on Magnus for now. But it's a good-looking figure. Just stop.
But anyway, this Ultra Magnus, we've got like all kinds of new photos of it from our usual source of early Combiner Wars photos, and this looks fantastic.
Yes.
Please don't come out before BotCon. I will never afford you if you do.
Okay, so Robot Kingdom says they're going to start shipping these on May 29th. Which means there's, you know, 3-4 weeks before it makes it to distribution in the U.S., before, like, online retail gets it.
Which is right around BotCon time.
It's going to be after
a little
BotCon.
Bit after.
Yeah.
A little bit after.
Well, that depends on whether it's 3 or 4 weeks.
Hopefully after enough that somebody has been kind to me for my birthday and I have enough to order it.
Yeah. Right. And you know, this is going to be Titanium Ultra Magnus all over again at BotCon if anybody has them. They're going to be through the roof.
Yeah, I mean, oh. I could see some people, some dealers EMSing some Ultra Magnuses from Southeast Asia to have them in hand to sell at BotCon and be $98 a piece because they spent $60 shipping for a case of them.
I would say Big Bad Toy Store may do what they did with Metroplex and ship a whole bunch of these in. That way they can sell them.
For San Diego Comic-Con.
In one respect, I'm kind of glad that there's no sign of Devastator being available that early.
Yeah.
Because, like, I don't need the temptation at BotCon to see a stack of those somewhere and be like...
Oh,
yes. it's like, well, I'm here, and I would have the patience. Basically, it'd be the justification going through your head,
right? But the shipping cost, I would say, would probably be like put back into the price tag because of what they had to pay to get them overnighted there to sell in person. It's all a balancing game, you know.
Yeah, but no, this Magnus is beautiful. It is the right amount. It is just the right amount of G1 and just the right amount of IDW, and I want it.
Oh yeah,
I want it very much too. Did you see that comparison picture with Classics Optimus in robot mode in there? That's like the perfect size for Ultra Magnus compared to Optimus.
Mm-hmm.
Like they got this so right. I am like really, I'm really really happy with how this has turned out.
Oh, yeah.
And then we're going to get these, and there's going to be some horrible design flaw, and we're just going to cry forever.
Yep. And the
so
other
close.
Thing that I don't
we were
know...
this close!
All the plastic, all the white plastic secretly gold plastic painted over.
Oh, damn it!
And one of the things I don't know if we mentioned, but the Takara version is actually going to come with
That's later on. That's later on. Oh. It's farther down in there.
It's in the show notes. Yeah, I wanted to mention that too.
Read the show
notes. You said we had three official things. This was the fourth one.
No, I said we had three categories of official things. Read the show notes. Don't just click things at random. That's how we had Devastator when we were talking about Starscream.
That's how we get malware. Just clicking left and right.
Especially...
Anywhere you have Mal, you'll have Dr. Blight, and that's never a good thing.
Right, anyway, my fault for asking. So, following up on Ultra Magnus, we have some close-up photos of Minimus Ambus also, which looks like the stock photos, basically.
Yeah, the only thing I see about this Magnus that I'm not 100% on board with is that the photos we've gotten this week of both him and Ambus show the white plastic is looking just a little bit waxy, which would not be my ideal. But I have a feeling it's not going to bug me that much in person.
Mm-hmm. I think part of that also just might be the harshness of, like, photographic lighting.
Possibly. It's hard to say because it's, you know, there were a few of the shots at Toy Fair that I thought that about, too. So, you know, going to be interesting to see it in person and see what I think.
Yeah, the lighting at Toy Fair was horrible, so it was not good for taking photos.
Like, yeah. I'm looking around at stuff I have on the shelves here, and, like, Reveal the Shield Jazz, I think, probably has a similar quality of white plastic to what this is, which is not ideal, no, but it's not the worst thing either. Probably also, like, Dark of the Moon Space Case, his legs were that kind of white also.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully it's just something that's being exacerbated by the photos, and when we actually have it and are looking at it directly, it's not going to seem so bad. Pre-orders went up for Wave 4 Combiner Wars Legends, including Rodimus and Skywarp, and also Groove and Warpath are the reruns in that assortment because everybody loves Warpath.
Yeah, that, you know, they were worried about us not getting enough Warpath in this wave, so, you know, they put him in the fourth wave instead of Viper, which would have been an easy one.
Like, you know, if you're at the store and you have to choose between, like, Warpath and Viper and Groove, and for some reason you don't pick up Warpath at that time, they want to make sure that you're not missing out forever. So they're sending it out again in the next wave.
But you forgot he would still be on the shelf the next time you went back.
That's not how it works. Everything sells out.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm the one that's supposed to be on the drugs.
No, but the actual thing we're talking about here is Skywarp and Rodimus, which this is our clearest look at stock photos of them so far. Rodimus sure looks like a red blackjack.
It works, like, pretty well as a Rodimus in vehicle mode. I'll give it that.
It's okay. Like, I don't care about this at all as being a Rodimus. I just want it because I love that mold.
Yeah, there are other things I would rather see this repainted as.
The head a little bit more close up.
Yeah, that would be nice. I mean, we don't usually get, like, super huge stock photos of the Legends for whatever reason.
Why does nobody ever transform the Seekers right?
Well, they're such a complicated figure. It's very difficult.
What got me on this is the price tag. The $33 for two Legends figures.
That's their Warpath insurance.
Yeah,
I guess
because he's going to clearance out big time,
right?
And what's sad is Toys R Us has upped the prices of Legends to $13 a piece, and that's higher than what Toys R Us is on the Legends.
Okay,
which is not good.
So for reference to these pre-order prices, yeah, the set of Rodimus and Skywarp themselves are $32. The set of Groove, Warpath, Rodimus, and Skywarp is $42.
Yeah. So it's a $10 difference.
Which is actually, like, a sane price to pay for four Legends. Yeah. Well, relatively speaking. But, like, no, I would not advise just getting the two pack together, or the set of two. You know, just wait until you don't have to buy a whole set together, I think.
Yeah. I'm going to wait till I see these in store, and if I miss them, I miss them.
I mean, I'm probably going to at least try to get Rodimus when it gets to Hasbro Toy Shop, because I can just get that by itself. I want... Basically, like, Blackjack in Legend scale is my new Jazz, where I want every version of this mold that gets produced because it is so nice.
I'm going to pick these up because, I mean, Skywarp, he's a seeker. I need him. And as for the Rodimus, I mean, I'm pretty much all in on Combiner Wars right now. So I'm going to pick him up.
It's a weird thing for me, too, because, like, this wave is, like, a wave of obligation for me. I have to get Rodimus because I want all of that mold. And Skywarp is just, well, I have the other two. I kind of have to get Skywarp now.
Yep.
Well, it is kind of nice that they're coming out with the final Seeker in the Legends class, because they had talked about that last year at BotCon, trying to get these groups together. But also the fact it's coming out at the same time as your leader class, Thundercracker. So the one that buys one versus the other, I don't think one's going to pull sales from the other.
No.
But it's nice to see having the options of the different sizes, but it's just if you've already got some of each, you're a Seeker collector like Melvar, you're gonna wind up buying two different class sizes to complete the trios. Which kinda sucks.
No, I don't see a problem in it.
I don't think this is the final use of this mold either, because we've already got Acid Storm. I think we'll end up getting a Sunstorm before they put this mold to rest. Too.
Oh yeah, and I'm totally
put
happy
any
with
kind
that.
Of colors on there, and people will buy it
because
they could do.
You know, at a leader size, I may not be inclined to pick up those oddball ones like Acid Storm or Sunstreak or Sunstorm. Sunstreak. I'm tired. It's been a couple late nights recently. but yeah, I mean, but in this size class, I can easily pick those up and justify it and have room. That's one of the things. I'm running out of space. So a legend, yeah, I'll buy five or six of them and it's fine. But you got seven or eight leaders.
You're talking about building on an edition, you'll be fine.
He's thinking about moving house anyway if he can.
Yeah,
so.
If I can, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, another thing is with this last of the small Legend Seeker mold, I mean, they could have already done it, but now that all... Are there any mold differences between the three?
No.
Okay. Well, let me get that. The good thing is now we'll be able to see these at BotCon as maybe like exclusive repaint sets as the Troop Builders.
Don and his landline.
That's TFY YLP calling him right now.
No, I was thinking Messi figured out how to prank call him.
Like, basically, at this point, we're just figuring Messi is elf.
Yes. Nice.
Now I kind of want a sitcom based on Don and Messi, with Messi reimagined as like this talking cat puppet. Like, I think there's some ground there. We can build something on this.
Or could
Don be
like a Muppet like human, and Messi is like an actual live cat.
The best part is, if Don thinks about this conversation in the morning, he will think it was the Claritin.
Yeah. Well, he's not listening. He's on the phone.
Oh yeah.
So I heard what Diecast was trying to bring up.
I heard me and Messi. Awesome, I am, and that's about all I picked up.
That's the Claritin talking, all right. So, we have a clearer look at the Legend series Ultra Magnus, and it certainly comes with something interesting.
An Alpha Trion.
Okay, so here's the thing with this. So, like, for the deco, for Ultra Magnus, they went really accurate to More Than Meets the Eye in the first year. They got the red thighs, all the little like light up details are painted in, you know, all of that. But it doesn't come with the Minimus Ambus; it comes with Alpha Trion,
which makes absolutely no sense.
But I love it. I love the idea, Alpha Trion.
So much.
It's the first non-convention exclusive Alpha Trion toy, as far as I can tell.
Exactly. Yeah. Which just means I have to have this. There's no way I can't not have this.
Well, but then you won't have a Minimus Ambus.
Well, the thing is,
this means I have to get both.
Yeah,
that just kills me.
Well, you know, the cool thing is that, you know, if they work on the fiction behind this character, they could easily say that Alpha Trion back in the day could not save Dion, but he knew that if Optimus Prime lost his best friend, he would not be the leader he needed to be at the start of the war. So he made himself Ultra Magnus, so Prime would still have his friend to fight the war.
Jet fired up Dion's corpse, basically.
Basically, but it was for the greater good. But it's one of those questionable motives. But I can see the fiction supporting that.
It sounds a lot like IDW Alpha Trion when you describe it that way. Questionable motive for the greater good. Leaving out important details because.
Are you sure you don't read these comics, Don?
No, it's just.
But yeah, I just.
Well, whatever character. Go ahead.
Sorry. I like the color scheme on this. I like that Alpha Trion exists, but again, you know, like we were saying, I wish it had a Minimus Ambus because I might actually go for this version if it did.
Right.
And I don't know about you guys, but Rob and XV, y'all are more familiar with Brave than a lot of folks, including other than myself. Don't you think this would be a good, maybe like an X-Kaiser repaint if they wanted to get a Brave exclusive out? It'd be kind of different for X-Kaiser, but it could still work.
I don't think they want to get a Brave exclusive out.
No, probably not.
Probably not. I'm also not familiar with X-Kaiser, so.
Well, then they're wrong.
We really need to get that exclusive out, said no one.
I don't really like Red Thigh's Ultra Magnus. I didn't like that in the comics for the first year either. So, like, I'm kind of okay with the Hasbro one, especially since that's the one that has Minimus. But, like, for the people who really do want more comic accuracy in the deco, man, this sucks.
Well, yeah. I'm not going to get this one either, but I will say that I do like the red a little bit better because it does break up all that blue.
But you're wrong, Don.
Versus the Masterpiece version, where the red was just stuck there on the inside of the legs, not adding anything and taking away from a lot of the aesthetic.
Well, you give up on that, Don. They repainted it already. Jeez.
I know. I'm just drawing parallels.
Or in Melvar's case, at least half of it.
I wish that the weapons were white, because for one thing, it'd be, you know, make a better match for the hammer mode, and also just because the original Ultra Magnus' gun was white. So,
right. You know,
another thing I kind of like about this one.
Hey, is his gun like a shortened version of the Superion gun?
It's a new mold. Yeah, and it all pegs together to become with his missile launchers to become a hammer.
Although I like what the people who have this in hand already are doing, where they're taking the one half of the paired rifle and making the hammer a short hammer out of that, so he has both at once.
Yeah, that's great.
Well, that's one thing. I'm glad animated has sort of, it's like John said in the broadcast the other day, how he sort of moved on from animated, but there's still a lot of good touches that they did originally, like Ultra Magnus having a hammer for something different, and I'm glad to see that's continuing forward in these future lines. So animated still does live on to a degree.
And you can't deny, like, you know, a big old Warhammer is a cool weapon to have for your giant robot.
Yeah, and also
why do you think Gal Gigar was so popular?
This,
because he's a hammer.
Mm-hmm. And hopefully, with the hammer, they can describe like he who ever be worthy, you know, shall possess the power of Ultra Magnus or something. They do a third party hammer.
Hey, Chris, I think they were trolling you on the original photos of the U.S. release because they have a G2 Jazz mold going in the back of the trailer.
Yeah, that doesn't really scale well for deluxe.
Yeah, I think that'll definitely be something to put your legends in.
Okay, so moving on, we have images of a mysterious black Skids.
This looks so pretty. I want
it
this.
It does.
Yeah,
I was kind of tired of this mold, but it does look pretty.
I wish it didn't have the Skids head.
I still need crosscut.
Okay, so this redeco is very much based on the black version of the Diaclone Skids, and we pretty much have no idea what this is for, but circumstances kind of point that maybe this is a BotCon thing.
Oh, another BotCon I can pass on. Woohoo!
Yeah, you know.
No.
It was posted to one of those places that gets toys early, one way or another, along with Pack Rat and General Optimus Prime. So, yeah, you know, signs point towards BotCon, but we can't say for sure yet.
And Crosscut's not a great mold, so...
Well, it's a lot of the Skids problems.
Crosscut was better than Skids in execution. Hopefully this will have the same benefit. I just really wish it had the Crosscut head, because, like, you can't get around that head is just Skids flat out. Like, there's no seeing it as anybody else.
Yeah.
And it looks... It's a really nice deco otherwise. It's very nice looking, but... You know, with that Skids head, I just can't get past it.
I'm sure someone will do a third-party head swap.
It's kind of plain deco for a BotCon. Well, maybe not.
Well sometimes plain nice works.
Well, okay, like, if you look at the stripes on the side in the pictures in the second link, there's, like, subtle gold shading in there, which is a really complex deco element for, like, a normal retail thing. So even if this isn't BotCon, it's going to be some kind of, I think, like, premium format release.
Oh, that picture looks a lot nicer. Yeah, I just clicked on that second link, and that's pretty. Yeah. Actually, I might pick this up. I really like that paint deco now.
Okay. What is happening here? What just happened here? A 180. Okay, so... I think I heard a 180 spin.
Yeah.
Okay, so that leads us into our FunPub news for this week. BotCon registration has been delayed, and the sky is blue, or it was a couple hours ago when it started.
The funny thing was, they're like, yeah, we're in the final test phase, but it's not going to be this week. Like, we still have half the week, roughly, when we got the email. We still had half the week.
And I'm off Friday and Saturday, and I could finally be here and doing it from the house, and... Now I have to keep wondering, will I be at work when it goes up, or will I be home?
Will Massey have killed me?
How many days will it have been since I died? How much of me is still here? But yeah, so I did some thinking on this, and if in the best case scenario, registration goes up this coming Monday, there will be exactly 1 month between registration opening and when BotCon starts.
And I'm actually scared to kind of even mention this, because there is a chance we may get blocked from their Twitter. Which happened to one of our friends, Anthony...
Diecast.
We love BotCon.
Don't poke the beehive, Diecast. Also, the hotel block is full and they can't secure any more rooms.
But you can sleep in your car,
no
apparently.
Hotel nearby, right?
Diecast.
Yes, parking is free.
Yes, yeah, parking.
They have ample free parking. Good news. So we also have in-hand photos of subscription service 3 Carzap with GB Blackrock Creon.
Coming to John's mailbox. Yeah. Maybe Saturday.
Yeah, probably soon. I like the Creon.
I like the concept of this. I'm not really interested in having it. I mean, like, I don't really have a big problem with that mold anymore, because Goldfire and Nightbeat did a lot to redeem it, but I still don't, like, I don't feel a need to have what this represents. I don't need an extraneous use of this mold. Really.
I love that you can fill up the gas in one of the connector ports. That's awesome.
That's really fun.
I want this.
That is a little bit clever.
I'm going to have to figure out a way to get this figure.
Well, I'm sure there's somebody getting a subscription who doesn't want this.
Yeah. If anyone doesn't want this, contact me. I'll buy it off you. Definitely.
Diecast2 on Twitter.
You're right, though, XV. This is one of those. It's kind of like the Skids mold, where you can put lipstick on the pig. Like, you can make that mold, like, look really good, but at the end of the day... It's not the greatest mold. So, you know what I mean? You can dress it up and make it really nice.
I learned to like the
but
I learned to like the Skids mold when it became Crosscut. Like, honestly, I like Crosscut a lot more than Skid. I like Goldfire a lot more than Bumblebee or Nightbeat.
Yeah. I wasn't even crazy about Goldfire, but I like Nightbeat and Go Shooter out of this mold. Yeah. So,
you know, because if I was going to spend that much money for the Cars app, I'd rather just go ahead and get the Go Shooter myself.
Yeah, that's basically been my logic too. And Go Shooter is among the things I plan to look for a deal on at BotCon. Good luck to me. Okay, so now, you know, unlike when Diecast was jumping the gun before, tfradio.net/Amazon, where you can find all kinds of products because Amazon has everything in the world and can ship it right to your door. And if you use our link, you'll send some money back to us and you won't even have to pay anything more. You're actually taking it out of Amazon's pocket. And what more incentive could you want than that?
Yeah, they have enough money.
Yeah.
So, Don, have you found any, like, great, you know, animated series on DVD or, you know, other home video format on Amazon in the last couple of weeks that you'd like to recommend?
Actually, I was going to recommend, we talked about this a few weeks ago, the Complete Allspark Almanac. It's now been marked down to $26.35. I think that's a little cheaper. I think that's a little cheaper than original. So if you go back and look at our podcast about the Allspark Almanac when they were on talking about it, if you love animated, again, a lot of people do, and it's still a presence in the world. Check it out. It's $26.35. You get free shipping at $35, and it's a really great read. Like if you're going to BotCon and you're driving, for example, and say you've heard about this.
Yeah, if you're driving to BotCon, you can get this book and read it while you're driving.
Yeah,
it's not a good idea.
Okay. Not the one physically driving the vehicle, if you're the passenger, or if you switch out and become the passenger.
On Don's behalf, I would also like to recommend not driving while on Clarington.
But, you know, this is a really good deal. It's a great – I have the individual items. I've been from our podcast. They've added even more to the collected edition, so pick it up. It's something really interesting.
tfradio.net/Amazon, because I don't remember the link directly to the almanac, which we also have a link for somewhere. But
I think it was tfradio.net/almanac. I believe
so.
You can give that a try for sure. But if that fails, tfradio.net/Amazon always works. So in third party, So Perfect Effect thinks that Masterpiece Star Saber is just not quite good enough as it comes, and Hisashi Yuki is probably crying right now.
Yes.
They've said bad things about his baby. So what this looks like is a more detailed Brainmaster figure and possibly metal sword blades for it.
I thought the actual figure had metal sword blades as some people.
I have never even seen one in person, so I couldn't tell you.
No, it does not.
Okay.
So, my question here is, who thinks this is even necessary?
Not me.
Perfect Effect.
I don't even think Star Saber was necessary anymore.
Well, I think you're wrong on that. But...
Yeah, I'm all about third parties doing, you know, upgrade kits, but this is just an unnecessary one.
Mm.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of dig the little Brainmaster figure because it does look nicer in sculpt than the official one. But, you know, sell that for $5, leave the sword blades off.
Yeah.
I'd like to think that Combiner Wars has just made a lot of third-party companies incredibly bored and frustrated.
I mean, I almost want to hope that's the case, honestly. Just because, like, Hasbro's done something so well that it's really taking away from their opportunities. They have to, like, start thinking about new things again.
Yes.
Which may not be a bad way of looking at it.
And it's not a bad thing. You know, make the third parties start being creative again, not just picking the low-hanging fruit.
And also look at something other than G1. Look at your Japanese G1. Look at your Euro G1. Look at G2. There's more to life than Generation 1. Gasp, I know that's heresy, but believe it or not, it's out there.
I'm not listening to you.
It's in boxes.
But basically with this, I think you don't really need your Master Beast Star Saber. You don't need to be able to borrow his sword when you can't find a butter knife. That's pretty much what it's coming down to for me.
I can imagine this is a butter owned.
Also in Perfect Effect, we have white variants of their Combiner Wars hands and feet add-ons.
And no one was surprised ever.
Does anybody care?
No.
Now, are they the ones doing the black ones for Defense Sword that looks so good, or is that the other third party?
No. Perfect Effect has black, purple, and now white. And white is retroactively the Superion set, even though the black one was originally the Superion set. But I guess now that's the Defensor set because it works.
I'm more excited about Non-F Productions doing feet because they're only going to be $10 for the set, and they're also going to have three colors.
Look at the next item in the show notes, Diecast.
Oh.
Read the notes.
So, Diecast basically ran that one down already. No, if all you really need is a set of feet with some ankle tilts to make posing easier, there's a $10 option coming up in the near future from Non-F Productions, and that's probably going to satisfy most of your needs. It's not going to transform into anything, so you're just going to have a foot sitting around when you're not having your figures combined. But if you're okay with that, I think this is a good thing to go for.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
I really want to keep an eye on Non-F Productions because they've got this. They're the ones doing Signal Lancer, and they have a IDW Cyclonus upgrade kit that's coming soon.
Yeah, so what Non-F Productions does, they work with people who design things for Shapeways, and they adapt that stuff to injection or something similar. They adapt it to like actual molded plastic instead of printing.
Yeah.
So
I've got their Superion antenna, and they are excellent. And the biggest thing for me was not only are they like really excellent quality, and you know the molding's really nice and stuff, they are perfectly colored to match the gold on him, which is like the key thing.
I want to get when they have them available the replacement hip ratchets for the Combiner Wars Optimus and Motormaster mold.
Yes.
Like, you know, get that, get the combiner feet they're doing, and then when Perfect Effect comes out with the body filler for Motormaster, I want to get that. And hopefully all those things combined will make me either Captain Planet or a decent Menasaur.
Let your parts combine.
There's our obligatory Captain Planet reference for this week. So, Diecast, I know you're interested in this. Fantoy's Stomp. We have a picture of a new bonus accessory revealed for that. Why don't you talk about this a little bit?
So these are the eyes to make them pop out of his head when Devastator hits him in the G1 movie. So it looks like just a cap that fits on top of it, and the eyes are on posts. But I love it, and I can't wait to take my Combiner Wars Devastator and have him hit Stomp.
You and everybody else.
That's going to be like the first photo that pops up. It's not going to be him in robot mode. It's going to be him getting hit by Devastator.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I got to give them points for understanding, like, this thing exists, we're doing this, we could easily add this to it and make everybody laugh.
Yes.
In a good way, not in the typical third-party laugh way.
I heard about this like 2 weeks ago, and I thought it was a joke. And no one really talked about it till it got to the official channels and like actually, you know, released. And maybe it started off as a joke, and they figured out they could do it, but I love it.
Yeah, but I will agree with you, Diecast. I do kind of miss the lower introductory price point. But like y'all said, it could be cost of productions. It could be material. It could be anything that causes that.
I think
that
was on a Polygon.
Drops. Was it a Polygon? I thought we were talking about Stomp.
No, we were talking about Stomp because Fans Toys usually does a special
early bird pricing. Okay.
Yeah. But they seem to be doing it with all their other figures. Like, there's other figures that they just talked about, and they're still doing the early bird on those. Yeah, so it's just this one.
There just could be some mass or extra materials involved that sort of eat into that discount.
So finally, in third-party news, we have test shot images of Mastermind Creations Commodus, which is a figure based on IDW's Turmoil.
Now, Commodus gives me all the wrong connotations.
It's a Latin word, Don. It does not mean coil.
I know. I'm just saying. I was making the obvious joke.
Although, they could totally take that one DJD member that turns into an electric chair and, like, retool that as a toilet if they really were inclined to.
Oh, and call him that Energon hovercraft?
Cybertron, short round, yes.
Short round, yeah. Just we call him short round.
Yeah, we do already have a transformer that you can turn into a toilet unofficially.
And that's because not just the Beastmasters toys.
Don, I'll find you. You're on drugs. It'll be easier.
Well, I see three of you coming, so I'm sure I'm bound to hit one of you. I'll say, Massey, get the one on the left and look at me like, there's nobody there. I can't, there's nobody there. What are you saying? There's nobody there.
No, Massey will actually, turn Massey will and join in.
Actually, Massey will just be looking at you and thinking, you're trying to give orders to a cat.
Or he won't even.
You really are on drugs, aren't you?
He won't even acknowledge you. He'll just, like, sit there and lick himself and then go doodle on the wall.
So can anyone explain to me who this character is?
He's a Decepticon from the IDW comics.
Called Turmoil.
Right. As and noted.
Yes. He's a member of the DJD, right?
Yeah. He's not a member of the DJD.
No.
Drift, that's right.
Drift
was...
as Deadlock used to be on Turmoil's crew. He was his second in command.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. Before he found the happy planet.
Yes.
Before he found planet Claritin.
So let's make a real expensive toy out of this guy. That sounds good.
Well, he's reoccurred over the years, so.
Yeah, that's fair.
And, like, you know, Mastermind seems to be kind of on a kick right now of exploring IDW stuff that's not likely to get official toys. So, in that case, more power to him.
Yeah, I wish they would focus on DJD, though. Cause like,
or you know, put some more attention into their Overlord that they've been working on for a couple years.
But again, this Commodus, this is something that we've seen before. We saw it quite some time ago before the Feral Rex thing started coming out. And we also saw a Spartan version of this as Impactor.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. I didn't realize Impactor was from that mold.
Yes, and that's the one I want.
Oh, yeah.
But now, he doesn't have this whole split personality thing going on where he hears Turmoil in the back of his head talking to him or something, does he? Like little Loki.
No.
Okay. Just wondered.
I don't even. Anyway, so Rob, what else is on T-Formers this week?
Okay, well, first up, we've got Joe Moscone, formerly of Hunter PR, Hasbro's PR firm, is auctioning off some of the things he has gotten over the years for charity, including Optimus Sentinel Maximus, excuse me, and quite a few.
No charity would take Optimus Maximus.
No, but also he's got quite a few Marvel exclusives up that have gotten pretty rare and valuable over the years, like the Marvel Legends Stan Lee that came out like 5 years ago. So quite a bit of that up on eBay to take a look at. Also, we have got speaking of Optimus Maximus, we've got the Combiner Wars Optimus Maximus art, which you piece back together. And is definitely Optimus Maximus.
Yeah. It's our first indication of Ironhide's deco, which is just, you know, G1 red. There's no extra influences to actually make it interesting.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we still can't see anything of Prowl to make any kind of determination on what's going on there, except it's a white leg.
Yeah. Also, we have got product images and turnarounds up on the Metal Earth website, those really neat metal model kits that turned up at Toy Fair this year. We've got some.
I think Diecast was kind of taken with those, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah, so I like the look of those. I'm going to be kind of interested in getting a closer look at those if I can ever find them in person. And lastly, we've got some pictures of the Prime 1 Studio Premium movie Optimus Prime and Megatron busts out of the box.
What makes them premium?
Probably
what makes him premium besides Don's power supply?
The marketing guy makes him premium.
You know, the paint job and attention to stuff not sucking. You know, not actually making.
No, they're mostly movie characters, so we cannot guarantee that. You know,
It's not like they go in and add improvements to the figure to make it premium. They just make sure the stuff that was sucking isn't sucking as bad.
I want to make a company that manufactures something. I don't really care what, and I want to make the quality assurance department called officially the department of making sure stuff's not sucking.
Yes. That sounds like some English tank top in Chinatown. What is this word salad on your shirt? Hey, I've got a real quick third-party note.
Okay.
I've had it for about a week, but Mastermind Creations Senecus, so not Voss, is tons of fun. I really do like him. And he is slightly overpriced because apparently they had to use a factory that's more expensive than their usual factory for whatever reason, which kind of caused some controversy because I think Planet Steel got like their purchase order into Mastermind Creations before Mastermind Creations had to change like the wholesale price, and so all the other retailers had to wait. And they got like a revised wholesale price, and so their retails were actually higher than Planet Steel. And later, their offering was later than Planet Steel. So you actually, if you had jumped on Planet Steel initially, you could have gotten Senecus for about $20 cheaper than the rest of the world. So there was some complaint about that. But now he's somewhat widely available, or he was for a while. Anyway, I got him, and for $80, he's a little bit of a stretch. But putting that aside, I really do like him. And I do recommend him if this is going to end up being a full DJD set, which I think apparently it is going to be. I'm really excited because he's a really good start.
And you got him because Feral Rex can hold him too.
Yes, that's a fun bonus. I'm not going to lie. I mean, that's cool. But I really got him just because of obviously DJD. So they've shown two of the five, and I know they've got like the name or some kind of code number for their Tarn. So they've already got in some form information on the first three, so it's promising.
So now, if I remember right, Diecast was saying that the rifle mode was not like super solid. How are you finding that?
Yeah, it's not. I mean, he turns into like this janky stick with a handle, but that is the that's the gun mode. He's never going to be
my beat stick.
Yeah, I mean, you know, oh, okay, he gets, Feral like, Rex. Really long and thin, and you can...
No, Dante's boomstick.
Yeah, Feral Rex uses him as a club.
needless to say, that's really not the point of him existing, but he is
but
really...
speaking of combiner really... interaction, how have you found a way to use that with, like, you know, combiner war, like with Minasaur?
Oh, that's interesting. I haven't tried.
I'll play around with that.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. I'll play around with that. He's only been in gun mode for like 20 minutes of his life with me, but I'll mess around with it. Anyway.
Okay.
Again,
cool. So, before we go, Diecast, you brought attention to a note about Apollyon. You want to brief us on that real quick before we go?
Should we read the whole note or should we just talk about it?
No, you can summarize it.
Okay, so basically the gist was X-Transbots apologizing for the plastic quality and the fit and finish of Apollyon, which I don't even have in hand, but other people have this in hand. And they said they fired someone at the factory or they got someone new to oversee QC issues, so hopefully there'll be less.
To oversee the not-sucking issues.
Yeah, yeah. but the funny thing to me is, don't they say this almost after every figure?
Well, yeah, I was going to ask you, like, this isn't a complete shock, is it?
No.
The note in there I thought was interesting was... that they promised they were going to try not to use ball joints in their Masterpiece-style figures in the future.
Yeah, they said it was necessary to use it.
Problem.
But, yeah.
Yeah, apparently his arms just pop right off.
Awesome.
Oh, wow.
Whoops.
And then if you put the new ball joints on, apparently the arms don't want to move.
Double awesome.
Megatron's so, been disarmed.
I mean, again, like, I heard you talking about this for, like, weeks, that cast. That it was basically everybody's, like, hope was that he was half as good as he looked.
Somebody needs to do a quick photo comic with Apollyon and Masterpiece Starscream with Megatron's arms falling off and Starscream proclaiming, as Don has, "Megatron has been disarmed! I am now leader!" It would be perfect.
I don't think KFC kind of gets, you know, at least for me, I'm coming to the point where I can't give you any more chances.
Yeah, don't. That's why, like, my list of third-party, like, companies is incredibly short.
Yeah.
For the amount of money you have to put down on these, you kind of need to be picky.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And a lot of companies put out stuff that looks great in a picture on tformers.com. And then you get it.
Not so much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Impossible Toys. So that'll do it for the show this week. Thank you, guys. And thank you all for watching. Hopefully, Kilby will be back next week to wrangle the cats. And hopefully, Don will be on even more Claritin, because this has been a lot of fun.
Yes.
We'll see you next time.
Everybody take care.
Don's going to go die.
R.I.P. Don.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required if you know what's good for you. Jeez, when are these guys ever going to move out of their parents' basements?